Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Town,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Papa Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to.
You're listening to my
Hi, and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is Shannon, and this is episode 161. And we got the original crew here, myself and Pete.
Hey, Shannon. Yeah, we got Sue's off on another adventure in the Caribbean.
And I didn't realize we hadn't recorded since March. You just told me we hadn't recorded since March, which
yeah,
I didn't even realize.
Had, you know, I went somewhere, and then you went somewhere, and we'll talk about some of that later in the show. And then there was not a lot of news building up, and we got quite a few stories at this point.
A lot of little stories.
At least every couple of weeks, we can pull together three or four stories, but there was just a little bit of a period there where there was nothing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think Disney was letting all the Epic Universe information, like anything was going to get drowned out. So.
Yeah, that might be part of it for sure.
Yeah, so now that even though the opening is happening later this month, there's so much out there because of the previews.
Is there ever going to be a less dramatic opening day than the opening day of Epic Universe?
Yeah, I agree.
Because literally like a million people probably will have gone through that park by the time. I don't know. That's probably an exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying? Like so many people have already been there.
Well, I mean, we've already been. We went on April 18th on Good Friday.
Yeah.
It was a last minute kind of thing and it was great. We'll talk about it at the end. And I do have a vlog and a recap video of kind of what I thought of it. But you know it's getting saturated when vloggers are going back and spending entire days in one land. That's the trend I'm seeing now is they're going back and doing entire days in one of the portals in the lands. They're really kind of saturating the market there. So I think that now we're starting to see Disney news come up. But it'll be interesting to see how they handle the grand opening.
Practically everybody has an opportunity to go to it before the grand opening. So, you know, that grand opening day, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a hullabaloo and, you know, they'll probably have the Today Show there and everything like that. But like,
oh, for sure.
In terms of the actual theme park fans, I don't know how many people are going to be like, yay, I'm the first one. Oh, no, wait.
I was watching the Kentucky Derby and they had two of the guys, the two hosts that one of them's a former jockey and they had them they rode Stardust Racers and they were commenting like it was a horse race and they had each of them in the front row of each of the trains, which I thought was funny. I was like, oh yeah, this is everywhere. But
it's NBC for sure.
Yep, for sure. But before we get into that and get into our Disney news, give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is Monera Financial. So if you are looking to purchase a DVC resale contract, you can hit up our friends at Monera Financial. Or if you have an existing contract and you just need to refinance, our friends at Monera Financial can help you out with all your DVC financing needs. Yeah, let's go ahead and get started with the news.
Yeah, so first story is Disney came out with some news since they're already selling trips for 2026. They came out with some news about some of the 2026 perks. And according to DVC News, Disney has announced that both early entry and extended evening hours will continue to be offered for vacations in 2026. The evening hours are available to all guests staying at a DVC resort, regardless of whether they have full member benefits, because it's basically a deluxe resort benefit as opposed to a direct DVC benefit. If you're a DVC member, direct member, a resale member, you still have access to those. And I have to say, it's in my opinion, one of the best perks out there are those extended evening hours, because you get two extra. The morning hours now they've ruined by cutting them down to 30 minutes.
Right.
And having them in all the parks every day. I mean, it's basically like it just means you have to get to the park at a half hour early. The evening one, it's genuinely like limited in numbers and it's 2 hours. So you actually get enough time that you can get in three or four rides in the evening and some of the longer wait rides. I really like that perk and I'm glad to hear it's continuing.
And I think in July, there instead of Magic Kingdom, there's going to be one at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And while I'm sure that might disappoint some people, if you are in the park, go to Animal Kingdom that day because it is amazing. Because most people aren't, they're skipping it. or they're not going, or they don't know about it. That happened to us in July last year, and it was amazing. So
I think I'd go there and just ride Flights of Passage three times.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
The other benefit that we know they had this year, which is the water park day benefit on your first day, they did mention that free water park entry on arrival day will continue next year, though Disney's announcement simply says summer of 2026 for the perk. We're not really sure if at this stage it's, as they say, just going to be a summer thing, like they'll start it Memorial Day through Labor Day or through the end of September or something like that.
I kind of feel that they'll do it when there's two parks open.
Yeah, or when there's two parks open.
Because they were hitting capacity.
You were down there for Epic Universe. Did you stay on Disney property for that, or?
No, we stayed at We stayed at the Terra Luna.
I mean, it was funny that we went down in the beginning of April for just two nights, and we had a super early flight, like 5 a.m. So we actually landed in Orlando before 8 a.m., and we made rope drop at the water park. It really wasn't too bad in the first couple hours, but there were a lot of people there by midday. And like, we were leaving at like, I don't know, 3 to go to the hotel. And like, there were people still streaming in, which surprised me a little bit. But I guess, you know, hey, your room's not ready. You got a couple hours and you go to the water park, hit the lazy river, do a ride or two. But the lines were long. There were a lot of people at that water park. That was just Blizzard Beach open at that time.
I could see that because there was a point during, I think, spring break where there were signs saying water park at capacity, Disney hotel guests only. So people who have the annual pass and are locals couldn't go in. So it was causing a lot of problems. There was a lot of complaints. So I could see that. And that's fine. I mean, we're going in July. I mentioned this. We're going for July 4th. So our plan is to drive up that morning and hit the water park for a little bit. We'll see. I've never been to Blizzard Beach, so we'll see how that works.
Yeah, if you hit it in the morning, it's not bad. As I said, is
well, we'll be driving up, so it's still a 3.5 hour drive. So I would see us hitting there by noon. Right. But it's not like, it's not a focus for us. Like, we'll go there for a little bit. If the lines are too long, then we'll leave and we'll come back to the resort.
Yeah, it's worth doing. The family raft ride there, I love that ride. That's the best ride in that park. There's a lot of like racing rides, but I do like the tube slides on the back of the park are cool too. If you're really adventurous, obviously Summit Plummet is quite the thing, but it's a really long wait. Even when it's not that busy, it's frequently an hour wait for that ride.
Not for me, but that's great. I'm happy to see that that's going to be continuing. I think that's a great perk. And I think that definitely gets people to stay on property.
Oh, for sure.
So number two, our second story is that kids free dining is now available for DVC members in 2026. In an unusual move for Disney, members will be allowed access to a discounted dining plan perk in 2026. For members adding one of the dining packages to the reservation, one child's dining plan, ages 3 to 9, can be added to the room for free for each adult paid package. The quick service dining plan offers 2 quick service meals and 1 snack or non-alcoholic beverage per day, plus a refillable beverage mug for the entire length of the stay. The plan is priced at $60.46 per adult and $26.16 per child. The traditional Disney dining plan includes 1 table service meal, 1 quick service meal, and 1 snack or drink per day, along with the refillable mug. And this is priced at $98.59 per adult and $31.94 per child. I personally am not a big fan of the dining plan. I did it once and I just felt like I ate way too much food. But I guess for people that want to do it, it's a good deal.
When I saw these prices, I was like, I don't know if it made me feel old or what, but like the first time we went, which I think was 2006, it was like $35 for the dining plan. And now it's almost 100. I'm like, holy moly.
And I'm just thinking like 2 quick service meals, like I'm not spending, I'm not going to count a snack. A snack is okay. But am I spending $25, $30 on a quick service meal?
I'm not.
Yeah. So,
and we'll do a lot of like, we'll share something or we'll.
Yeah. Oh, I ordered the kids meal.
A lot of times we'll share a drink because you get like 3 refills. So why do I need to buy a drink for each person? And the one thing I'd said all along, and especially with this deal, that I think it's worth it is if you have kids and you're doing a lot of the character meals.
Yeah, for sure.
So the character meals are pretty pricey for kids. They're pretty pricey for adults. at the $98 per adult price, you're looking at what, it's like $65, $70 for most of those character meals. And then for the kids, it's still like $45 or something like that. So you're saving that kid price. So that's the one place I would think would be something I would consider if you're gonna take advantage of this with the free dining for children. If you have two kids and two adults, I could see it being well worth it in that particular case.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then VIP pass holder days are going to be returning in 2025. So DVC has announced VIP pass holder days will be returning this summer at the Walt Disney World Resort from May 14th to July 31st. This is longer than previous years, and the following perks will be offered: the pass holder lounge in the former restaurant Makaresh in Epcot with free snacks and charging stations. The lounge will be open from May 14th to July 13th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That lounge is awesome. Ryder and I got to do it in June, and it was awesome. Like it, that to me, that lounge was so much better than the DVC one. 40% off table service dining Monday through Thursday with two sets of offers. Now this is pretty incredible. So May 14th to June 30th, the restaurants available are Boat Rights Dining Hall, Cape May Cafe, dinner only, Hollywood and Vine, Toledo Tapas Steak and Seafood, and Tusker House lunch and dinner only.
Just a quick question. Toledo must be at Coronado, right? I've never heard of that before.
I think so. I think that's part of the new tower.
The tower, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
July 1st to 31st, you have Ale and Compass, breakfast and lunch only, Coral Reef Restaurant, the Diamond Horseshoe, Tiffin's Restaurant, and Whispering Canyon Cafe. Those are all like really great. Hollywood and Vine, 40% off. And this is obviously it's Monday through Thursday, but that's a character meal. So to get 40% off a character meal, that's amazing.
No, these are some nice deals if you're an annual. I mean, obviously, they're trying to drive annual pass holders to come during the week with these type of deals. Because, I mean, even Tusker House, that's a pretty good buffet.
Oh, that's a great buffet. Yeah.
I've always thought. And 40% off, suddenly, whatever, it's $65, but suddenly 40% off, you're only talking $40 or something like that. That's not a bad, that's not even a bad price for outside of Disney.
I am disappointed that there's not one character meal, since there are one in the beginning in July. There's not one. Maybe that will change, but I wish that there was one. But other than that, it's still great. Like Coral Reef is great too.
Two, right? Yeah, because Cape May is only character for breakfast, right?
Breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's great. So we'll be there in July. We're not going to the parks, but I love Whispering Canyon Cafe. Maybe we'll make it over there for a meal or something. I can do 40% off.
I think like Tiffin's has good food. That's a signature restaurant, but
yeah,
it's a good choice. So yeah, some nice variety there too. Like things that kids would like, things for adults. It's a pretty good setup. All right. So the next thing we have is a little update on DVC sales. We get this from dvcnews.com. The folks over there post this every month, and we sometimes share, sometimes we don't, depending on our stories. This is looking back at March sales, but sales were just north of 180,000 points, which is really strong sales numbers. So, you know, if anybody is trying to judge DVC sales as a marker for the economy, it sounds like the economy was still doing pretty good in March. Poly was the dominant sales resort for that month with 91,000 points total, which is the second highest total since the resort went on sale. Sold about 14% of the resort's 3.8 million points, and it's on pace to sell out by the end of 2027. So that gives us about a little under 3 years to get your Poly points. 33% of the resort inventory has been declared to DVC. Since they've only sold 14%, but 33% is declared, I would say we probably won't see another declaration until August or September of more rooms. Riviera didn't do too bad either. Sold about 60,000 points in March, which is slightly below the average of the resort, but that resort pretty much consistently, it always seems to sell about 60,000 points a month, 65, 70. 77% sold out, and right now, barring a serious drop, we expect that resort will be sold out by the end of 2026.
Okay.
And it is 87% declared. That means there's only 47 units that are not declared yet into inventory.
Wow.
So we could see that resort fully declared by the end of this year. I would not be surprised. Cabins at Fort Wilderness continue to sell small but steady 7,000 points a month, and they are now 3.3% sold. And I got a comment that don't expect this pace to change much until the new Lakeside Lodge opens.
Do we expect that the Lakeside Lodge will be part of it?
Shannon, I am 100% expecting it. Disney has not said anything, but I, with the way the sales are there, I guess now is a good time to talk about it. We did go over to look at the cabins, and we took the boat over from Magic Kingdom. We didn't have as close as I've ever been to Magic Kingdom without going in. We took the boat from the Poly to the Magic Kingdom. We took a picture in front of the train station, but we didn't go in because we didn't have tickets. And then we took the boat over to Fort Wilderness to take a look at the cabins to get a tour. And, you know, two things about that Lakeside Lodge. One, it is humongous. It is really, really big. I'd say bigger than Wilderness Lodge. It certainly looks like it is. It's at least it's going to take up more lakefront than Wilderness Lodge does.
Okay.
And secondly, it is right on top of Pioneer Hall. It looks like it's within a few hundred feet of Pioneer Hall is how close that building is to that area, or at least where the, I think there's going to be some cabins along the water. It certainly looks like there's going to be. They don't have that built yet.
Right.
They have a whole bunch of construction along the water. It is moving. Like they're not wasting time on building this place. Those that are fans of Fort Wilderness or whatever, I really see that being right on top of Pioneer Hall. So I don't know how much people are going to like that. It's certainly going to make that area more crowded. I would think that people can come over and go to the shops there or whatever. I mean, maybe they won't because there'll be shops internal to that building, but I expect to see a lot more crowds there. And I cannot imagine with how poorly sales are going that they are not going to wrap that into DVC. And there's still no word if this building is going to be part DVC, part cash, or if it's going to be all DVC. But with the size of it, just looking at it, I got to imagine there's got to be similar to like Boardwalk, which is kind of like 50-50 cash and DVC. I got to think it's going to be something like that. It's so big.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I just record. I don't know when it's going to be posted, but my DVC points, there's doing a series on the cabins, and I just recorded. I was a guest on that show and talking about the cabins. I love them. I loved staying there, and I would book there all the time, but I don't really have a desire to own there. Just because we don't need to stay there, and we don't need the 11-month mark. But I love staying there. If you can stay there, and if you're like a studio person, but you don't really have enough points for a one bedroom, but it's the best value. And there's some comparison to like a studio at Polynesian or maybe Riviera or Grand Floridian, it's about the same amount of points, sometimes even less.
We toured them and they're smaller than a one bedroom, but as you pointed out, the price point is closer to a studio.
Yeah.
And for the points per night, they are definitely a good accommodation, especially if you have smaller children.
Yes,
I would say sure. The two bunk beds, I think when your kids get to be teenagers, they probably wouldn't be too happy in those bunk beds.
Yeah.
Certainly older teenagers, but kids love bunk beds, right? So
Ryder slept in the top bunk every night.
Yeah.
I don't want to climb stairs to sleep.
No, it's completely different when you're an adult, but like kids
love bunk beds. But I will say I slept on the bottom bunk a couple times to take a nap. Super comfortable, and like it's just a twin bed. You know, so it was great.
Yeah.
They're nice. Not surprised they're not selling. So we'll see. Okay. And then we got another DVC story.
Yeah. So this just came out this week, both of these stories, and I kind of wrapped them into one on here, but two other changes to the direct market. One, they're having a sale for D23 Gold members. So if you get a D23 membership, you're now able to receive $500 off a DVC contract with membership. And this requires for first-time purchasers to purchase a 150-point contract, or if you are adding on, you can go down as low as a 100-point contract, and you'll get that $500 off. That is in addition to any other deals that they have within DVC. A gold membership in D23, I think, is only like $125 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So it's kind of a no-brainer. We've joined D23 for when we went out to the convention because it gets you a cheaper ticket and more ready access to tickets. And the membership was nice. I mean, there was some nice stuff. They give you some little like different treats. There's a magazine that's kind of a really nice magazine and things like that. But most of the things you get access to are out in California. Other than that, it didn't make sense to continue it. But it's worth the deal for this anyways. As I said, if even you spend $125 on it for this and you get $500 back, you're still coming out ahead. And then the other thing is, I don't know about this one, is DVC is now allowing direct 15-year financing. You still can do a 10-year finance, but if you want to, you can now do 15-year financing. The rates start at 12%, which is an extra percentage point above a 10-year loan. And so this would lower your monthly payment, obviously, because you're doing it over more time, but you would, of course, also pay more over the length of the loan. I would be a little leery about financing my vacations for 15 years, to be honest. And I'm not one of these people that say, if you can't pay cash, you shouldn't buy it. I don't agree with that. I took out loans for two of our contracts. I did pay them off in one of them, I think, took about 5 years, and the other one ended up being a little shorter only because we moved and it was with a HELOC, so we had to pay off the HELOC before we could move. That 15 years to me is a little long for something that's kind of a luxury purchase, you know?
Yeah, but so. I mean, the prices have gotten so extreme, I'm sure that there are people that can't afford it unless they do 15 years.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. You know, that's definitely the case. When you're talking now for 150 point contract is $30,000+.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I know my $72. My husband asked me there today, he goes, what would you get if you sold it? And I'm like, oh, I would make money. He's like, that's crazy. I'm like, I know. And at the time he thought when I bought it, he thought it was crazy.
I can't believe that I would make money on my Boardwalk contract.
Yeah.
Which I didn't buy that long ago. 2017, I think we got it. And it's only got 18 years left or whatever. And it's still up from where we bought, like pretty crazy. Significantly too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've thought about like if the prices stay up in like 5 years, being like, maybe I'll just sell it.
Yeah, no, it's totally. And then we do have one last story. This is something that was posted yesterday, and it is that the dance, play, and chill with cool kids summer at Walt Disney World. So it says, get ready to dance, play, and chill because Cool Kids Summer is taking over Walt Disney World Resort starting May 27th through September 1st. This is the perfect destination for kids and kids at heart with DJ-fueled dance parties, surprise character appearances, hands-on activities, and nonstop summer vibes. And so basically at all four parks, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Magic Kingdom, they're going to have various dance parties. At Epcot, it's going to be at the Communicore. It's going to be called Goofy Core. And then at Animal Kingdom, there's actually going to be like two locations that they're going to have events. Rafiki's Planet Watch, which that takes a train to get there. It's fun to go there. But I sometimes we used to skip it because it did take so much time.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also going to be a celebration sing-along at Discovery Island.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be fun. And then the animation courtyard at Hollywood Studios is basically they're taking over. So they're going to change the dance party is going to be like a special summertime dance party. Obviously, you're going to have the two new shows that are starting also on May 27th. And then they're going to have like magicians, jump rope performers to surprise character appearances all in animation courtyard, which is fantastic. My niece is taking her two daughters. So my grandnieces in June and my niece, my brother's daughter, they're going for the first time at the end of June. So I sent them both this because they have a one-year-old, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old. So this is totally up their alley. And then at Magic Kingdom, there's going to be two dance parties, one at Storybook Circus and then one at Tomorrowland. And then there's some other things throughout Walt Disney World. So I think this is great. Like, it's really great if you have little ones. And I think you don't really realize what a dance party is, how important a dance party is until you have a kid. Like, I would have looked at it, this is like, this is stupid, like before I had Ryder. But I remember there was one Christmas party that we went and we spent about 90 minutes at a dance party. And I looked at my husband and I said, we spent like $500 for him to go to a dance party and we couldn't get him out of there. We could not. It was like with all the Disney Junior characters and we couldn't. He would not leave. And I was just like, I spent $500 for him to dance.
To me, and I didn't have a particularly energetic kid, but one of the things to me at Disney that you don't realize so much is like even though it's very exhausting visit, your kid is spending so much time being restrained from just full force freedom. You know, it's like they're waiting in lines and they're in their stroller and they're sitting, you know, sitting at quick service places and waiting for a show to start and all these things. And I didn't love going to the playgrounds with my daughter just because like trying to follow her was so difficult in some of them, but it was so helpful to have that here, go let loose. And they've taken away most of those play areas, but like something like this, I totally get why, you know, you could sit there for an hour and let your kid run around. Now, if it's, you know, the middle of the day in the summer, I'm not sure how long they can stay there, but if it goes into the evening, I think that would, you know, or first thing in the morning or something like that, I think it would
be great. Well, I think the Magic Kingdom, I think they're doing it under that big top, like where they had Santa at the Christmas time. So that makes sense. That's where they usually do them. And that's great because it's shaded. Yeah. And you can just, like, as a parent, you let them play and you could just, even if there's not a bench, you just sit on the floor and you just relax.
Right.
Oh, and, for sure. And then the other one is going to be Tomorrowland, which obviously there's that stage. I think that one's at night. It's just one of those things. Like even the Disney Junior Dance Party, we would go in there and Ryder always loved it. He still loves it. He knew we still going, but it's a great place to get AC.
Right.
And then it's a nice chill. Like you can rest and be entertained at the same time. Yeah. So I think that's great. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of talk and we mentioned Epic Universe. That was our last story. So I'll kind of go into Epic Universe. Having now gone to Epic Universe, I don't see it being that big of a challenge to Disney World. I think that the people that are going to Epic Universe and Universal are the people that were probably going to go to Universal anyway. It may take a little bit out. The thing with, I think the reason for attendance is Disney's just gotten really, really expensive.
Yeah.
And to me, again, I'll go back to MultiPass. I think MultiPass is awful. After we did the MultiPass last year, I said it at the time. I said, I don't know when I'm going to coming back. Because it's just, it took away the fun. Genie Plus I could work with and made it fun and it worked with us and I was able to do it. But MultiPass, you have to go and they've made it where I'm hearing people are only getting, like I've had friends go and they just get the three passes. Like they're not able to get another pass.
Yeah.
I haven't used it since it was first launched, but
That's kind of the funny thing about it is like, it was such an awesome perk when it's free. But now that you have to pay $25, $30 for it, it suddenly doesn't look like that great a perk, you know?
Yeah. No, and it's like you almost have to get it.
In some ways, especially if you don't go very often, you feel like you have to get it. But as you say, now you're only getting, if you're only getting three rides and two of them aren't prime rides anyways, it's not a great paid perk where it was a great free perk. Your mileage may vary with any of these things, but
I have friends that have kids that have gone and they won't go because they can't afford to get the multipass because they have multiple kids, like they have three kids or just, it's out of their budget. And they say, no, we're not going to go because we can't afford to get the multipass. So we're just not going to go.
Yeah.
That's the mentality. It's like, well, we can't afford to get that pass and the lines are going to be too long. So we're just not going to go. And I've heard that from a lot. I mean, again, these are not Disney people, but this is the people that, you know, rider's age, they have kids that are rider's age. I think that's it. Obviously, a lot of people are cutting back. We kept saying like, they're going to hit with the raising of the prices and all like the nickel and diming. You're going to hit the point where it's just going to be too much. And I think that they hit that point, but it's hard to pull back, right?
It's so hard to say because, like, I've been going regularly since 2006. And ever since 2006, prices go up and people go, oh, this is the breaking point. This is the breaking point. Oh, $100. Their tickets are almost $100. That's never going to, you know, they're never going to survive that. I no longer feel like I can predict when the breaking point is. But to me, it is kind of insane that, like, now a week-long ticket is like $100 a day. Like if you want to go for a week, it's $500-$600 for a six-day pass. And then you got to, if you want to have a good time, you got to spend another $30 a person per day. And I've more looked at it from, I just like, because I've been so much, I just accept we don't ride as much.
Right.
I don't want to spend that extra money, really. I'll maybe do it for Hollywood Studios, and maybe one day at Magic Kingdom. That's it. I won't do it at Epcot. I won't do it at Animal Kingdom. I find other ways to get the rides that I want to ride. We just prioritize certain rides, and then the other ones we go,
yeah.
You know, we spend more time at the hotel. We spend more time off property. So, I mean, Disney's honestly getting probably less of my money for, I mean, yeah, we're still eating at the resort, so I guess they're still getting our money. But I feel like we were missing Disney, and we went down for a weekend, and we didn't go to the park. It's like, oh, maybe we should go just to see it. You know, I'm a huge Muppets fan, and it was $189 for a one-day ticket. I was like, no, yeah. I'm not doing that.
We said goodbye in December or November when we went. We're going, like I said, in July, but I'm contemplating because I would like to go see Tom Sawyer Island one more time, but I don't think we're going to hit a park because we don't have passes and we don't have tickets. And I don't want to spend $200 on to go see an island that I never went to visit when I could. We are, like I said, so going back to Epic Universe, my family and I did go to one of the previews. We went to the second day. The park, I will say, was not ready to open, but it's not open yet. It was 5 weeks before it opened. So there was a lot of things down. We had bad luck that day because we did get to ride everything except for Monsters Unchained and Fire Drill. But there was a lot of walking across the park for something to be down. But for the most part, we had a great time. It's a beautiful park, absolutely stunning. But there's not a lot there. Like, it felt more like Hollywood Studios than it did anything else. And if you have a little kid, like I have a 9-year-old who loves coasters.
Right.
And like loves VelociCoaster. And he was terrified going on Stardust Racers, but loved it. And then we rode it again and he absolutely loved it. But if you don't like coasters and you have a little kid, there's not a lot there. I just don't see it like really being competing against Disney. But I don't know. We'll see once it really opens in May.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that hit me was like there was a, you know, all the YouTube things, and I haven't been watching many of them. I did watch yours.
Yeah, thank you.
But you don't go into too many spoilers. See, I don't like the spoilers, so.
I try not to, yeah.
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 And anyone out there, check out Shannon Ford on YouTube. She has a pretty good preview if you don't want, like, super spoiling, seeing all the details of the rides and everything.
What I'll just say on this, I do try to put in timestamps. So you get a realistic preview as far as how long it takes us to wait. We are going back in June, so we'll be after it opens. But I do to put timestamps, like when I got in line, and that way you can see like how long we were actually in line. So you get a realistic preview of how long. And then I also did a recap too.
And you had some like shots from the queue and even some shots of the ride itself. But like, to me, what I don't want to see is like,
I agree. Here's
a full ride point of view video, and like that's the stuff I try to avoid, because like if I do that, then I'm gonna go there and just see the things I already seen.
Absolutely.
But the thing like shocked me that I saw was like, here's all 11 rides at Epic Universe ranked, and I'm like, 11 rides, that's it?
Yeah.
And then I'm listing out the ones that my wife and daughter won't ride, and I'm going, so there's like 6 rides that if we go there that we're gonna ride. You know, I don't know if they've opened it yet, but you got the show, the How to Train Your Dragon show.
That one is, we got to see it. It's great.
You did see it? Yeah. No, I've heard that one's great.
But we will skip it in June. It's not, I won't say it's a one and done, but since we're going, like, it's a once every couple years type show.
Well, shows in general are not like, unless your kid absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
Shows in general to me are, like, I love the Lion King show. I've seen it so many times now. It's like, every like fourth or fifth trip now we go to see it, because I've probably seen it 20 times and it doesn't change. It's a great show, but so shows can only take you so far. It's pretty rare that you get a show that like you just want to see over and over and over. I don't know. I mean, we're going in October and my daughter wants to do the Halloween Horror Nights, and I'm telling her, you're going to make, because we're already buying Disney tickets. So I'm like, well, you got to make a choice. Either we do Epic Universe or we do Halloween Horror Nights. And depending on the houses, she might choose Halloween Horror Nights over Epic Universe, because there's only, as I said, 5 or 6 rides that she'll ride, and she's 20. But she's just not a thrill rider. She doesn't like coasters. My wife doesn't like coasters. So it's like, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. If you are interested in Epic Universe, I do have a vlog and then a recap kind of talking about each land and what I thought. Very honest, I tried to be very positive, but there was one attraction that I thought was awful. I won't spoil it. We did have a great day. And it was our first time that we've ever done open to close with Ryder. We were there for 12 hours. And it was his first open to close. I didn't fare well.
I was going to say, I don't think I could do open to close anymore.
We haven't done it since before Ryder. And yeah. When we got back to our resort, I laid down and I couldn't get back up to wash my face. And I literally told Ray, I need you to bring me a washcloth and wash my face because I couldn't take the makeup off my face. I just couldn't. I physically couldn't. So I need to train for our next trip. But we have our next time we go, we have 2 days at Epic. So we will definitely be taking some breaks. But I'm really going to be curious to see once it opens. And I think the hype, I think there's a lot of hype there, but I just don't see it like really affecting the business. I don't know, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Well, I never thought it would kill Disney. I thought the biggest difference is you're now at a point where you can legitimately say, oh, I could go for a week to Universal.
Yeah. Well, we're going for 5 nights. We're going for 5 nights.
We've done like a long weekend. We've done, I think, 4 nights at Universal. But honestly, after 4 days in the parks, the fourth day, we're like halfway through the day, we're like, I've kind of done everything I want to do. I continue to say, like, Disney, as myself, like, I've yet to have a trip long enough that I wouldn't have liked to have stayed longer.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
But the other thing I wanted to mention real quick, and I know we're already going long here, is I did go down and stay at the new Polynesian Tower, and I've been putting together a video. I'm not very good at editing, so I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to do this, but going to post a link to it eventually on the My DVC Points Facebook page when I get it done. But we did a really good video tour of the Island Tower. We were staying in the Duo Room, which was surprisingly spacious to me. I'd never stayed in a Duo, but we'd been in the tower ones at, they don't call them Duos over at Riviera, they just call them Tower Studios. But those, like, the bathrooms are huge and the studios themselves are tiny. And this, they kind of reconfigured it and they took the sink area out of the bathroom and they made the actual bathroom area smaller. So it's actually, it feels more like a studio. I mean, it's still not as big as a studio. It's only like maybe 230 square feet versus 350 square feet. So there's definitely some room space that's missing. But for two people, it was fine for 2 nights. And I would have stayed there for about a week. I don't know about a week, but you know, for 4 or 5 nights, I would have been fine in that room. And I never felt that way when we toured the Tower Studios. We also got to tour the 2-bedroom. Tried to get into the penthouse, but they weren't allowing anyone in the penthouse. We checked out the garden decks that they have throughout the poly. There's one on floor 3, 4, 5, and 6 or something like that. And 2 of them face. That's actually where we went to see the fireworks. We had a premium Duo, which faces the water, but you can't see the fireworks from it. So we went down there to watch the fireworks. And at the Poly, it's perfect timing with Electric Water Pageant. The Electric Water Pageant takes place about 15 minutes before the fireworks. So it's a great place to view both the Electric Water Pageant and the fireworks. Great view, way better than Grand Floridian, honestly, as far as viewing the fireworks. But really, Tower is beautiful. We ate at the Waialulu restaurant. It's very nice. I wish the pool was a little bigger only because the Poly already doesn't have enough pool space. The main pool to me there is too small.
Right.
It was funny. Like one of the days I went down to the pool and I was like, oh, the pool's kind of crowded. So I went over to the main pool and I was like, holy cow. Okay, I'm going back to the Island Tower pool because the main pool was crazy. It was a nice resort. Some people complain, oh, it doesn't match the rest of the Poly. Yes, it doesn't exactly match the rest of the Poly, but I still think it had a very much a Polynesian feel to it and everything. And I love the lobby. And you know, I had a long conversation. I always talk to the DVC people at these things. I was like, oh, I'm so glad you went back to having a really nice lobby as opposed to, it's one of the things I really don't like about Riviera.
Right.
I know you don't spend time in the lobby, and so it shouldn't be that important.
It makes it feel like luxury.
That's the thing is, like, I walk into the Riviera and I feel like I'm at like a, I don't know,
an apartment
Howard
building.
Johnson's or something.
Yeah, no, it feels like an apartment building.
Yeah, it's just, and I realized they were going for what the old hotels of Europe kind of have, that kind of small lobby. But like, you're a luxury resort. You got to have at least a semi-grand lobby. they did that part right. And the, as I said, the Waialulu Bar and Grill there, good food, nice place to sit. I thought it was a very nice location. I mean, I like the Poly anyways, so we really had a good time. We ate at the Kona Grill for dinner. Food there was really good too. No complaints on my end. We get to Jelly Rolls one last time. Still in mourning, wearing black. That's look for that video. I hope to get it out in the next couple of weeks. I'm trying to put together something nice.
I hear screaming. My husband and son are watching Supercross, so okay. I hear screaming. So sorry if you heard that. We'll go ahead and wrap this up. So before we do, I just want to give a shout out and thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial, for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
MyDVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. MyDVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.